Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. I'm here with Patrick from OSPS, Ohio State Paranormal Society, to discuss some of his unique views today. Welcome, Patrick.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Not a problem at all. Total pleasure. I love to talk to people here in Ohio. I don't get a chance to do it as often as I would like.
Yeah, that's understandable.
So I guess let's just jump right in and we'll talk a little bit about what got you into the paranormal, what you do currently, and we'll just kind of roll with whatever you want to discuss today.
Okay. If you don't mind, I'll just give you a little kind of summary or rundown of our group, so to speak. Well, we're Ohio State Paranormal Society. We are based out of northeastern Ohio, the Massillon-Canton area. We have our paranormal group in six to seven different states. Our founder's name is Tammy Beckel, and she was originally from this area and moved down to Key West, Florida, and started a paranormal group down there as well. But yeah, we have paranormal groups that are associated with us in New Jersey, New York, Florida, Ohio, Michigan, a few different states. OSPS is completely nonprofit. One distinction, I suppose, that I like to make between us and I guess some other people, I think everybody likes the aspect or the idea of ghost hunting, so to speak, and, you know, just having a paranormal experience, if you will. But we kind of consider ourselves, I mean, even though it's kind of in the name, more of paranormal investigators than we use rather than the term ghost hunters, so to speak. We really try to help people, and just try to offer a full service to people who seem to have different things bothering them, of a spiritual nature, and things like that. So we'll go into a case, depending upon what it is, and normally we'll do a preliminary investigation, and we talk with the owners and meet them at their home, usually take some base readings, just electromagnetic fields, temperatures, different things like that, because we always try to look and make sure that there's not, you know, a more conventional answer to the supposed sometimes paranormal activity. But we meet with the people and we listen to their claims, and then we come in usually for a full investigation with all of our different equipment. I mean, it's that portion is similar, I suppose, to TV shows. I mean, we've got everything from, you know, recorders on a base level and up to EMFs, IR cameras, thermal, things like that. And in certain cases, we'll do house cleansings or property cleansing if it seems necessary in those cases.
Well, I think a lot of people, when they just jump in, like you're saying, if needed in some cases, it varies on case to case, if that makes sense. You know,
yes.
Sometimes you need this equipment, sometimes you really don't.
that's very true. There's, well, some investigations. I mean, we always have all of our equipment with us, but it's nice to use, and we have caught video evidence and EMFs and things like that. But I personally, I'm a more sensitive person to energy and things, and yeah, I like to go with a less technological approach personally.
Well, and the amazing thing that I don't think a lot of people understand, and I'm working with a very young team showing them this, when you're dealing with EMFs, the generalized wideband meter that most of us use in paranormal investigation, it's great for determining avenues of what may be leaking, what may not be leaking, and so forth. But as far as detecting a ghost, a lot of times, that's a complicated thing with a wide spectrum EMF. When you get some of the isolated EMF meters, the more expensive pieces of equipment designed in each field, that can change a little bit. But it's amazing how many people take the meters out there and they don't quite understand that when you're dealing with a wide spectrum.
Think if the numbers change or if something happens, that it's immediately a ghost.
Yep, absolutely.
Or paranormal. We've actually had this case was a few years ago. It was a case in Perry Township, not too far from us. And it ended up not being paranormal, which overall was a good thing. The mother and father contacted us and said their son, who was 8 years old, was seeing things in his room and being supposedly tormented by these things, and he was not acting his himself and things of that nature. So they called us and contacted us, and we went to their house, and like I was saying earlier, just kind of took some days, temperature readings, and went around with EMF, checked the walls, you know, which should be higher near electricity and plugs and stuff like that. And for some reason, the electromagnetic field around the sun's bed was massively elevated. And it shouldn't have been. there was no electricity around the bed. So we ended up going downstairs into the basement, and the main problem to the whole situation was they had old wiring, but two, the breaker box to the full house was directly underneath the son's bed, and it was not wired properly. It was not insulated properly, so it was setting off a huge electromagnetic field, and we believed that was influencing the boy rather than other things, because the parents had taken him to doctors and this and that, and they didn't find, you know, any conventional like illnesses or anything that they thought it was. And actually after that, the family called an electrician, and they had the box like completely redone, had some wiring redone, it re-insulated, and after that, according to the parents, all the behavior changed with the son, and he was healthier, he wasn't seeing these things in his room anymore. So I don't think that one was necessarily, sometimes, I mean, psychological things, especially for children, like as far as us just coming to the house and leaving, I don't know if that was a factor, but there was a big change in the electromagnetic field, and while it basically disappeared from his bed where it shouldn't have been.
Well, it's a good possibility that could have been affecting him. I know that from personal experience, we lived in a home for years, the left wall, I had to reposition a whole bedroom because my wife and I slept in one area, and the left wall where the bed was similar to that. There was a junction box, and all the main wires ran up that wall. Now, it took me about a year and a half to figure this out, but it was very old wiring, and we would get incredible migraines. You'd think you heard things, you know, just, and it turns out it was all the electrical wiring.
And it's so crazy. Just, I mean, even I personally, I mean, I like to read and do research and stuff, and it's very interesting. I mean, each one of us individually have our own, you know, small electromagnetic field around us, but uh-huh. Yeah, all the technology and the things we're surrounded by do, and I mean, I don't know that I've ever had it happen to me, but I've heard of cases is what you're talking about, people experiencing migraines or paranoia or feeling like they're being watched, and some of those cases were supposedly due to high EMF in the wall, which is it's interesting just how it affects the human body, so to speak.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things like that. Not that I'm saying that the other portion doesn't exist, because I'm a firm believer, because of my experiences, that ghosts and the paranormal is 100% real, just rare. But there's a lot of physical conditions and a lot of electromagnetic fields, as an example. Fumes from certain things can cause the issues.
Yep.
Noise variables and sound variables can cause issues.
And how sound travels through houses or ducts, uh-huh. for example. Yeah.
Well, my father, as an example, was an audio technician a number of years, and that's how I got into the audio field and eventually started learning a little bit about EVP. But
awesome.
He had been in the audio field for so many years that he could hear certain pitches in sound that he would hear all
yeah.
the time that you or I couldn't hear at all. So
that's,
he'd get startled by a high-pitched sound for no reason.
Yeah, and nobody else would be able to hear it. But
yep.
his ear had attuned to just listening to those different frequencies. That's neat. That's a pretty cool adaptation.
I'm always amazed by things like that. That's how I started off on my journey after a personal experience, was researching a lot of the paranormal. And as you know, the more years that you get in there, the more logical things that you find while you're searching for that one or two illogical events that you couldn't
yep.
explain in the first place.
that's very, very true. So much of the time, I mean, we had a case where you mentioned fumes earlier, and the father, like the whole family supposedly kept seeing, they were hallucinating. They said that they were seeing black masses or things just move through the hallway and this and that. And just through investigating their home and checking things out, in the garage, the way that the house and the ventilation stuff, there was an air intake, and that air intake led to the house. And right next to that air intake, Dad had paint thinner, all kinds of chemicals, and they weren't sealed. They were just sitting there. I'm like, well, that's probably why everybody thinks they're seeing everything and feeling lightheaded and this and that.
So, it happens more often than people think. You know, we live with these things so often, and we just go in and do our thing, and, you know, you paint
yep.
the floor, you paint the house, you stick something in a corner, and you don't think about it.
It's so very true. Yeah, we've had a lot of interesting cases over the years, but it's, yeah, a lot of them turn out not to be paranormal, and some of them we have an EVP or different things that we think point towards activity, and we'll always talk with the people and see how they would like to proceed, you know, if they feel like something's truly bothering them or scaring them. Another case we actually had that, well, it's kind of a short one, but it was a very nice older woman in Newark, Ohio. She was 91 years old, and her daughter contacted us. She said that she was seeing things around the house, things she described as like shimmering or reflections. She was feeling pressure on her head when she would sit down or lay down, as if she said it felt like somebody was squeezing the top of her head. She said she would hear voices and talking and things of that nature. Well, I mean, we did a full investigation at her house, and it was actually pretty interesting. She stayed up with us most of the entire night. Being 91 years old, she had a lot of energy and was very happy to stay up with us. But we had all of our cameras and equipment out and did our thing, and we weren't really getting anything. We did notice that if somebody was outside, not even near the house, if they were on the out on the sidewalk, that if they were having a conversation with someone, you could pretty much hear them in her house. So, I mean, you know, thin walls or things like that for sound. But overall, we didn't really turn up any particular evidence. And based on some things she was describing to me, I thought that it might be a medical issue. So we had her, or we just recommended that she see her doctor, and she did, and they found out that she had progressing macular degeneration of the eyes, and apparently everything she was experiencing are symptoms of macular degeneration, just seeing certain things, masses, pressure around the head, all these different things. So that was interesting, actually. And the lady was very happy. She was very grateful that we figured out that it wasn't paranormal and it just happened to be like sort of illness, so to speak.
That's interesting. I had the privilege, believe it or not, for the first 5 years of my sales career before I went into marketing to sell low vision devices, so I dealt with macular degeneration on a regular basis. Listeners, so that you know, macular degeneration is a degeneration of the eyes based on – it's kind of hard to explain, but basically pressure gets built up in the back area of the retina, which causes film to show up in the eyes, and the eyes will actually physically see what they think can be a mass.
Yep.
Or ghost or so forth, but it's actually a clouding in one portion or another portion of the eye that covers over the eye eventually. It also, because of the pressure in the back of the retina, causes migraines, and you'll have all kinds of weird feelings.
Yep. Yeah, the like you were saying, just the intraocular pressure change and stuff like that. It was interesting when I learned a little bit more about it as well.
It's I never knew until we started selling the low vision devices, which are CCTVs that blow up print under a camera so that they can read their mail and so forth. Until we started selling those, I knew absolutely nothing about macular degeneration. I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, which is understandable. I mean, there's so many different ailments and diseases and sicknesses out there, so.
But that is a good thing to bring up when you're dealing with the paranormal world, because I think a lot of people, you know, watch the TV shows and so forth, but they don't get a chance to spend time with investigators like yourselves that do a lot of residential investigations.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what you will find out is the psyche, other physical conditions, other mental conditions and so forth are present that are resulting in that. You know, a family may be having some pretty serious issues going on, and that in itself results in what people think might be paranormal, but in reality it's just simple things you need a therapist for, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yep, no, it definitely does. And we've seen cases like that where, you know, you try to tread lightly with certain things, you know, just
absolutely.
Telling people, well, we don't necessarily think this is paranormal and this is based on, you know, all this, but, you know, it might not be a bad idea for you to, you know, talk to somebody or something like therapy, like you were just saying.
Therapy, or push them to something that they're comfortable with. Sometimes you have to push them to, you know, the metaphysical side, and, you know, maybe you need to do some meditation and talk to somebody that does that, you know, whatever makes them comfortable with getting a little bit more peaceful
exactly.
in their environment.
Yep, and that's where definitely where just interacting with people and reading people and knowing, knowing when to go to certain avenues.
Yeah, that's a thing that, and I had actually have spoken to several people that have had experiences, and a lot of times, you know, these things are really personal, whether they're real or not real.
That's very true.
A lot of times it affects the family involved in one way, shape, or form. In fact, one of my guests was so terrified that he and his family slept in the living room. They wouldn't go into any of the other rooms, had several investigators come in, and finally got a hold of an investigator that said, hey, look, ultimately, you and your family are going to have to take control of this situation. You're putting a lot of negativity in here. So maybe you should look into the metaphysical. Maybe you should look into meditation and just go somewhere and talk about this a little bit. And once they did that, everything disappeared.
I think that's a wonderful thing. I very much believe in that, and I definitely think that just people in general, they don't necessarily realize the power that they have. And I've told people with cases we've done in the past, after I've cleansed the house and everything, and or the property, I just reiterate to them, you know, like this is your home. You know, you don't need to walk around here, you know, being worried if you hear a little noise or jumping to conclusions or anything. You know, just live your life and be you, and things should be just fine. It is amazing just what things like that can do for people or just the right mindset.
Well, I know that's something I had to learn. I don't share it a lot, but I had a very scary experience when it came to the paranormal early on. I dealt with it most of my life. Most of the friends that used to come around in the home that it happened on, they were scared to go in and out of the home. Now, I never shared it with them. They just caught on to the same thing that was going on. And what I learned, even though I 100%, I had investigators come in, I had a priest come in, I had a psychologist run from the home, believe it or not. it was paranormal. The one thing that I learned is I coped with it because I realized it was my duty to do so. It could only control me if I allowed it to control me.
Yeah.
So what was scaring everybody else didn't scare me anymore. It didn't bother me. It couldn't affect me. I just lived with it.
Yeah, and I've heard cases like that, and you know, everybody deals with things in their own way, and you know, it sounds like that worked for you. You know, you overcame your fear in a way with that situation.
Took a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. It took a lot of work and a lot of polite investigators like yourself that would come in and ultimately tell me the same thing. Hey, look, this, we can guide you. You know, we can show you where to go. We can give you our advice. But ultimately, this is something you're going to have to deal with. And eventually, I left the home, sold the home. It did pass on to several other people that have sold the home since then. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of – and it started me on my journey. I wanted to know what it was. So I spent the next 30 years trying to figure it out.
Yeah, my first paranormal experience, it was scary. My first experience was a physical attack, I guess, so to speak. But it happened after a bunch of other activity. Some family members when I was younger, I think I was like around 10 or 12 at the time, they had went to Mansfield Reformatory and done, you know, a ghost hunt back then, and found some things and brought some things home, some x-rays of old prisoners, spoons that were made into shanks and things like that. And unfortunately, I I fully believe that some negative energy came home with those things, or a negative entity, so to speak. Because after that, just all kinds of things started to go wrong in our house. I mean, I know stuff happens, and like, I mean, well, the washer broke, the fridge broke. I mean, just, you know, Murphy's Law, so to speak. So many bad things kept happening, and we'd come home from, or I'd come home from school, and all the pictures we would have in the hallway would be off of the wall, down on the floor, and be like, okay, like, what happened that knocked all the pictures down? Like, we didn't have an earthquake or anything, and that happened a couple times, and it was just weird, so we kept the pictures down for a while. And for a couple of weeks, close to a month, we just had, I don't know, strange activity, I guess. Things falling, things going off shelves, sometimes like you see in the movie, just out of nowhere, like stuff that wasn't, you know, on the edge. And one day I got home from school and nobody else was home yet, and I just thought to myself, I'm going to watch some TV. And I was looking for the remote, the channel changer, and like, okay, I looked, our house was 750 square foot, so not a very big house. But I look in front of the TV on the mantle, I look on the two end tables next to the couch, I lift all the couch cushions, look under the couch, and I proceed for 25 minutes or more to look for the channel changer. I start looking in the kitchen, just, you know, every room of the house. I go back to the living room. I look underneath the TV, like where we store DVDs or VHS and things like that. And after a lot of looking and I guess just being stressed out, I kind of blamed the paranormal or the spirit or negative entity, so to speak. And I was standing in the living room, just kind of yelling, and I was blaming it for taking the remote or the channel changer, and I was just yelling that it's a bunch of bull crap, and that, you know, spirits and ghosts don't exist, they're not real. And I was a kid, and I was yelling all this stuff, and right as I got done yelling, I was standing in the middle of our living room, and it felt like somebody took the lower palm of both their hands and put them on my shoulders and just shoved me. And I mean, I was standing there straight yelling into the air at nothing. But I was knocked off my feet and laying on the floor, and there was nobody else in the house. And then the even scarier part, I stood back up and the channel changer was right in front of the TV. And I was actually so spooked by that at that point in time that I left the house and walked out in the front yard. And I just stood in the front yard until my older brother got home and my parents.
Well, it happens, though. I know a lot of people, they laugh about it, they joke around about it and so forth. But, you know, things like that happen. It's happened to me. I've been pushed, I've been shoved, I've actually been bruised,
wow,
scratched. You never
expect those things. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, even being into the stuff and being educated about it and things like that, it's like you were saying earlier, usually hauntings and the things, the way media makes it look, you know, so, and things like that, it's not as common as media would have you believe.
No, it's not. It's very, very rare. Though it does happen, it's not something that happens every single day. And I had to giggle a little bit. I apologize when you were talking about the remote thing. I live in a home that when we purchased the home, I didn't know this, but I thought it. I recognized it. I was growing up with a friend, Stephen, that actually his uncle owned the home. His uncle was going through post-traumatic stress disorder and lost his wife and hung himself in the basement.
Oh, my.
Now, I didn't realize that when I bought the home, but Stephen's relative is still here. And when I bought the home and we started changing things around, he acted up for a minute until he realized who I was. Oh, hey, that's little Chris. So yeah. Every now and then, believe it or not, he does play those pranks, and he and I have that argument. I'll have my keys where I know I put them, or I'll have a remote, or I'll have an important document or something sitting there. And if I'm working too hard, it'll just disappear.
Yep.
No matter where I go, I won't find it. And then I'll have to say, okay, Bob, I get it. You need me to calm down a little bit. Look, it's a rough day. Can you give it back? And then bam, it'll show up right in front of me.
Right. And so, some of those instances, like, everybody misplaces stuff, forgets their keys or their phone, this or that. But there are times, and I know it's happened to me, where, you know what I mean, you go through the same routine all the time. You walk in the door, you put your keys in the same spot, where you know 100% without a doubt you put your phone, you put your keys, your wallet, something right here on this table, and then it's not there, and that's always surprising.
Well, sometimes, you know, at first I'm writing this off as, you know, I just misplace things, but then family members and friends, they kind of get a kick out of it every now and then, because sometimes when this reappears, it'll reappear where everybody's just walked around. Like one time I had a file that I was frustrated with the day. It disappeared. I had to make sure that this payment got in. It was a $1,500 payment, had about 20 minutes to get it in, or I was screwed.
Of course.
So I finally stopped and said, okay, I'm frustrated here. Would you prefer I just burn the house down, Bob? I can do that. Or we can make this payment. And then all of a sudden this file shows up in the middle of the floor that we all walked around looking for it.
See, yeah, and you know you all didn't miss it.
Yeah.
Yep. Those times are, I don't know, whimsical spirit play, so to speak.
Yeah. So it's unique that things like that. Now, on the other end, it's never fun when you end up with that rare situation where you do get pushed, especially if you're young, because I'm sure you were very scared at the time.
Yep. That was way before I knew the things I know about the paranormal and about energy and things like that. And yeah, I just walked straight out of my house, and I was like, I'm not going back in there.
Energy is a unique thing. Now, whether ghosts understand this or not is a whole other question that people have been looking into for years, but it is kind of interesting that positive and negative shows up in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
I read a little bit of your bio. You're a bit attuned with that, so to speak. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, I would definitely say that. Ever since I was a little kid, I have, and certain people have certain things or sixth senses or things like that, I've always had a very direct connection with animals. And, you know, you always have animals like certain people, whatever, you know, there's something about them. My whole life, I have been able to walk up to aggressive animals, dogs, cats, things, birds that are freaking out, pocket pets. I actually have a degree as a veterinarian technician, so I've worked in the veterinarian field, emergency medicine for a few years. And there's just something, I get near these aggressive animals or panicked or, you know, worried. I'm able to, I just hold them or touch them, or then the calming effect seems to be pretty immediate, which, I mean, I'm just happy to help them in their distressed situation or the way that they're feeling. Actually a little something that I always have liked or enjoyed my whole life. I've asked multiple people, whether it be on paranormal cases or just out at the park, this or that, you know, you see somebody with a dog, oh, would you mind if I said hello, pet your dog? And I've had a few people, well, more than a few people tell me, well, the dog's, you know, he bites, you probably shouldn't, or he's actually kind of aggressive. And I told the people, would you still let me, you know, would you still let me try? Like, I promise I'm not going to sue you or anything like that. Like, I sincerely, and they've let me. And I mean, it's always turned out positive, even on cases. There was a gentleman and he had a large Rottweiler and she was literally chained up out back with a big chain and everything. And she was going crazy. And I asked if I could go see her. And he's like, well, he goes, just the other day, an old lady went walking by and she came into the yard and tried to pet her and she bit the old lady. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. But he ended up letting me go out and I walked out and sat down beside her and just started petting her. So that's, I don't know. There's something that I've just always been sensitive to animals or maybe energy in general.
Well, animals themselves, I've learned throughout the years, and because I have some unique connections with animals myself a little bit, they communicate in their own way.
Definitely.
Once you learn that communication, it's fascinating what you can do with animals. I've had people tell me, we moved to Wisconsin as an example, and there was a horse called Little Red. Little feisty horse, right?
Yeah, of course, that name.
Well, yeah, and my wife's mother, she said, oh, I have problems with him. He never comes up to anybody. He doesn't respect anybody. And I looked at her and I said, he just wants a friend. And
like
said,
you just know.
She said, no, that's not the case. You'll never get close to him. It took me about 10 minutes, and this horse is coming up and loving on me.
Right? And I mean, that's a great thing.
Yeah, you know, communication with animals is unique. You got to obviously know how to communicate with an animal. The average person can't walk up and talk to a dog that's scared or upset or an animal. But it's amazing how you can feel how they feel, I guess. That's the easiest way to explain it. They communicate in their own way, and you can just kind of feel what you need to do.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. And, I mean, not just scientists, but people in general, people who live near coasts or Hawaii, certain places, for example, They say that they always pay attention to their animals because before a big tropical storm blows in or a tsunami or something like that, they know so many hours before because we have the technology clearly nowadays, but just all the locals and stuff, you hear stories about how their animals react to the changing weather or, you know, possibly the energy or the barometric pressure shifts in the air and things like that. It's very interesting.
Well, that goes the same with just energy in general. I know you mentioned the locals. I've had the privilege of talking to some American Indians and some people in Hawaii and even some of the people in Tornado Alley that are older people.
Wow.
They don't rely on the technology, but it's amazing how – there's a gentleman that I met in Oklahoma right on the edge of Tornado Alley that deals with tornadoes every year. And he's an amazing man. He's an old gentleman. I'm not even sure if he's alive anymore or not, but he could smell a tornado.
That's interesting.
You know, and that's the easiest way to explain it and how he explained it. Look, I just know, okay?
Yeah,
I can go out, I can look, I can feel it, I can smell it and go, there's a tornado coming. You know,
that's cool though. That's interesting.
Well, yeah, living with it, I guess you could say. You know, you just learn to adapt, like you said, with your animals and how you feel the energy. You just learn to adapt to that situation. It becomes a part of your life.
Yeah, that's extremely true. And one of the most, I think besides my fascination with animals and communication with them, an interesting thing that turned me on to energy and its capabilities at a young age was my mom. She has fibromyalgia, and ever since I was little, she always went once a month to an acupuncturist, and She still does. And I remember being a little kid, and I went with her to one of her appointments, and I didn't know what was going on. I didn't, you know, have the slightest clue at the time. And I was sitting in there with her, and Dr. Mock, her acupuncturist, he was just explaining things to my mom, and I was sitting there, you know, kind of listening. And he's talking about the flow of energy in her body, and I just didn't understand what he was doing. And he said, "Will you let me show you?" And he asked me for my left hand, so little boy me gave him my left hand, and he took a very flat, paper-thin needle, and he put it in the center of my palm. And I didn't even feel it pierce my skin. And he touched the top of the needle with two of his fingers, and he said, "Do you feel the tingling in your chest?" And I said, "Yes." And then he touched the needle, and he slightly moved it in a different direction. He said, "You know, now do you feel the tingling in your left leg?" And I was, you know, weirded out, to say the least, and I'm like, "Yes." And he did that a couple times, and then he pulled the needle out, and he just explained the body's energy pathways and chi, and he said, basically, he said, "I was temporarily disrupting certain energy pathways in your body, and that's what you were feeling." And I was amazed by that. So
that's really cool. I had something similar with an American Indian, believe it or not, that I spent a little bit of time on a Native American tribe out in Arizona, just because I was curious. It took me years to get in there.
I would love to do that. I hope you had some amazing experiences there. That's awesome.
I did. I got to learn a lot about the culture. They're amazing people. Like I said, it took me years to get in there because you got to build trust in a lot of these places
that are
outside the reservation. But the one thing that I remember the most, outside of a unique experience that I'll share with you some other time, was I had a Native American elder that shortly before we decided to do a sweat tent session that he wanted me to kind of get in touch with the spirit realm, so to speak.
Yeah.
He walked up to me, and I had a car accident early on that replaced my leg. I have a replaced knee and a replaced rod in my leg and a replaced ankle, believe it or not. And I was having trouble for years learning how to move that. I could only move it about 40 to 45 degrees, so I had a limp. And I tried to walk in there at the time without showing the limp, and it was less than 2.5-3 minutes in, and I sat down, and he put his hand on my leg, and he said, "Don't worry about that car accident. You will get 90% or above eventually."
and
I kind of looked at him
like,
okay.
How could he have known? It could have been a million different things.
Yep. And he explained later, he said, "You know, by the way you were moving and the energy you were giving off on one side of your body, I could just physically see that you had an accident. It was easy to put two and two together and realize that it was probably a car accident. And I could also tell by looking at that energy around you that, you know, your body just wasn't ready to heal yet, but it was coming."
Which that's a great thing, but that's a cool experience. And I very much understand just the things you said that he was describing. I can see people's energies, so to speak, their auras and things like that. You have all kinds of people, and recently in my life, I've been more open to it. I've been able to do it for a while, but you have some people that you go to talk to about it, and they look at you like you have three heads, and then you have other people, and they're like, "Oh, really? Like you can see my aura?" Well, and you go to tell them things about it, and they're intrigued or very interested, and I very much believe that through meditation or just opening yourself up, I think that it's possible for anyone to achieve certain levels of working with energy or even visualizing seeing energy.
Well, yeah, and what I don't think a lot of people understand is what you stated earlier. The body gives off its own electromagnetic frequencies, and it varies based off of each individual person's size, where they're at in the planet Earth, and so forth. So naturally, we have this energy coming off anyway. And if you ever pay attention, even the average person, if you ever pay attention, some people write it off as they call it a daze or, well, I just get a little tired. If you go into an environment that may be boring to you, but there's a lot of positive influence, whether it be a motivational seminar or a church session or so forth, if you pay close attention, even when you feel like you're dazing, and just look around the environment, you'll notice this little glowing ring around virtually every person that's getting involved in it.
You're exactly right. And you're right. If you look very closely, you can see it. It's usually a specific layer of the aura that's held tight to the body, but that's the one that's usually easiest for people to see.
Yep, and it's not far stretched to think that that goes beyond that little bit that you physically can, that the average person can see. It's just most people don't think about it.
definitely. Well, and the fact that I love, like I said earlier, I love to read. I like to have an open mind, and it doesn't matter if I disagree with somebody. I love to hear their whole point, and you know, to understand why they understand and believe and feel the way that they do about any given situation. Just lost my train of thought.
I had that discussion actually just recently on Real Time Paranormal RTP, which is a Facebook group. A lot of people talk about the paranormal drama and everything that goes on in social media. And I told them, you know, social media and the paranormal are two different things. When you actually get into the real paranormal field, you'll find that most of us debate about things. But we do it in a manner that we're fascinated with the other person in most cases. You know, you and I may disagree about something, but I'm still going to take in something that I discussed with you, and you're going to take in something that you discussed with me, and we're going to come back learning something from each other and go, you know what? That makes sense.
Yep, and I think that's wholeheartedly, honestly, the way it should be and the way to do it. I think it's a great thing just to be open like that. And, well, even from plenty of scientific standpoints, especially just the fact that our eyes, the human eye, I mean, we have the visible light spectrum, but we know about X-rays, you know, we know about gamma rays, certain types of radiation and things like that, UV rays. We know they all exist, and if we're given, you know, the proper things, we can view them or measure them, so to speak, but we can't see them with the naked eye. And there's, you know, I just believe that there's so many things that are not necessarily on our exact frequency of existence. And I think through meditation or perhaps other spiritual practices, you can learn to change your vibration and open yourself up to visualizing things. One thing that I like in relation to that, there's a specific sea creature called the mantis shrimp, and it's a very exotic shrimp, but scientists, through studying it, have studied the cones and the rods in its eyes, which we all have, just different sizes and different shapes, which allow us to see different things and different lights and spectrums. And through scientists studying the mantis shrimp's eyes, they realized that it has a much, much broader spectrum of sight than people do, that it can perceive, you know, just things that I was mentioning earlier, or it should be able to perceive other things we can't due to the shape and the formation of the cones and rods in its eyes.
Well, you know, going back to that same American Indian, he taught me a technique that I absolutely adored. He told me, go out in the middle of the woods around nobody. Sit down. Listen to the first thing that you listen to. Now go beyond that. Concentrate on the next. Now go beyond that. Concentrate on the next. Go beyond that. Concentrate on the next. He said, by the time you get to the fifth or sixth thing, you're realizing you're no longer listening at the forefront, but you're hearing things that are miles away. You can hear the ants crawl below you. You can hear the changes in the moisture on the leaf. And before it's over with, you understand everything around you.
Yep. That's such a great thing. That really is. It's just opening yourself up like that to other things and getting to experience things on another level. I find it, intriguing and wonderful.
Well, it can be a unique meditation technique. I learned how to do that after about 4 months of trying it, and I'll tell you, it's relaxing. You get to a certain point where you're just attuned with everything, and you're just sitting there nice and relaxed, and nothing matters anymore.
and I think, in this day and age, I think that's extremely important. Just given, the hustle and bustle of life and how everything is. And, we all have our smartphones or our technology or whatever the case may be. It's definitely important, I would say, vital for myself personally, just to be sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yep, and that's what it really is. It's you're getting back attuned with yourself and nature around you and everything else, and for that brief moment, you're just living.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Stopping to smell the roses, I guess you could say, is the easiest terminology that most people would say.
so very true. That is honestly, that's a really amazing experience, just getting to go on the reservation and to be with them and you know what I mean? To have them, like you said, you have to earn their trust.
You do, and it's an amazing culture. If you ever have a chance to do it, I would encourage you to do it. When they tell you some of their stories, and they'll still be limited because you're an outsider, but they'll share some of their culture with you. They'll share some of their beliefs with you. They'll show you some of the things that they've been doing for centuries now, and it's really amazing. Of course, any culture is. I've had the chance to meet very many cultures here in the United States. I haven't had a lot of chances outside of the United States. I'd still love to do that. But, from the Jewish culture to I've met some gypsy cultures that are here in the United States. And once you finally get past the roadblocks in a lot of these places, they're all very amazing. Well, let's take a moment. We're down into the last couple of minutes of the show. It's been a wonderful conversation, Patrick. I'd love to have you on anytime. So if you're ever interested again, let me know. But let's take a moment about where the listeners can find you so that they can, research OSPS. Yeah. And if they ever need you, they can contact you.
Yeah, definitely. We are on Facebook, Ohio State Paranormal Society. We're on Facebook. You can find us there. And then we have our website, Ohio State Paranormal Society, .com. And there's all kinds of stuff on our website, just information about the group. I don't know if I mentioned earlier, and it may matter to some people, not to others, but our group is the only group in the state of Ohio that is insured. We have an insurance policy for up to $1 million, which actually it helps us in certain cases get into or not go into more certain commercial places where they may be concerned about, things getting broken or damaged or anything like that. And nothing like that's ever happened, but it is nice to have that. It does help us sometimes. But our website and Facebook, and there's numbers to contact us there if anybody feels that they need any help or if they have questions about anything, really. if there's something going on that they don't understand, we would definitely be happy to use our knowledge and our expertise we've gained over the years to just to assist in any way that we can.
Well, you've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We've been talking to Patrick from OSPS, Ohio State Paranormal Society. Feel free to look them up. Great bunch of people. Patrick, I've got a local group. We're working on a documentary here. I'll touch base with you via email on that, but I'd love to have you guys stop in and just teach the new teams that we have somewhere along the line. It would be pretty amazing, or maybe even you know, if you do a commercial area, I'd love to tag along and tell your story a little bit with your team. It would be wonderful, or do some personal interviews and add you to the documentary.
Yeah,
I think you're a great bunch of people.
That sounds great.
Next week, we will be doing a pre-recorded program for Post Town Elementary School and Daryl Wissman. I encourage you to hear Daryl's story. He's a wonderful man. They're having a rough time with Post Town right now, and they're generating funds in order to try to keep the place open. It's been a wonderful part of the paranormal community for over 15 years now, so keep that in mind. I will end this, like I do every single show, in the paranormal. Remember, as you learned today from talking to Patrick, truth should always be that reality. If you ever have any questions, don't hesitate to talk to paranormal teams. That's what they're there for. We'll talk to you next week. I hope you enjoyed the show, and have a great weekend.